This is Film Bookcast.
Film Bookcast.
Film Bookcast. The official podcast of Film Book. Get ready for the latest in film news, TV show news, and theatrical reviews. Film Book's podcast starts now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Film Bookcast, the official podcast of Film Book. My name is Chris Banks. If you are tuning in to Film Bookcast for the first time, first of all, welcome. And what I do on this podcast is discuss the latest film and TV show news. I also review an in-theater film and sometimes on streaming services. You can find more about Film Bookcast on film-book.com by using the search term Film Bookcast. You can also email us at podcast@film-book.com with Film Bookcast in the subject line. Let's jump right into it this week and check out some movie news. Phoebe Waller-Bridge joins Indiana Jones 5 in a lead role opposite of Harrison Ford. The Fleabag star is coming to your favorite archaeologist. Phoebe Waller-Bridge will star alongside Harrison Ford, who is returning to the role of the adventurous archaeologist in the fifth installment of Indiana Jones. This is not the first time the Fleabag and the Killing Eve creator will leave her mark on an iconic franchise, having voiced a droid in the Star Wars story Solo. Only this time, she's a co-lead, and we'll be able to see her face. James Mangold has taken over the reins from Steven Spielberg, who directed all four previous films and will remain closely involved with the project in a producer capacity. Lucasfilm boss Kathleen Kennedy, Frank Marshall, and Simon Emmanuel will also serve as producers. John Williams, who contributed to every score in the franchise, including its iconic theme, will also return as a composer. I'm thrilled to be starting a new adventure collaborating with a dream team of all-time great filmmakers, said James Mangold. Steven, Harrison, Kathy, Frank, and John are all artistic heroes of mine. When you add Phoebe, a dazzling actor, brilliant creative voice, and the chemistry she will undoubtedly bring to our set, I can't help but feel as lucky as Indiana Jones himself. Indiana Jones, the fifth installment, is set to be released July 29th of next year. In more movie news, Warner Media's CEO admits that the company stumbled in announcing the 2021 films shifting to HBO Max. Directors like Denis Villeneuve were crushed to learn that their films were suddenly going to be released in a hybrid model back in December 2020. That won't be the case in 2022, as Warner Brothers is already striking agreements with theaters to install a 45-day window between theatrical release and its streaming premiere. Yet the damage done, Christopher Nolan especially going off on the studio, has made Warner Media's CEO speak out, saying there's no doubt that it was a bumpy road back in December of last year. If I had the chance to do it over again, I think it's very fair to say that we would have taken a couple more days to see if we could have even more conversations that we were able to have. There's absolutely no love for cinema, nor the audiences here. It's all about the survival of a telecom mammoth. That's what Denis Villeneuve said back in December. And the CEO replied saying, I think it's very fair to say that a big, you know, let's say a big DC movie, it's very fair to say that you would go to exclusively to theaters first and then go to somewhere like HBO Max after it's in theaters. That means this year, when audiences want to check out the DC film The Suicide Squad, when it arrives on August 6th, they have the choice to either see it in theaters or directly at home on HBO Max. As for The Batman, when that releases in March 2022, audiences will have to check it out in theaters first. So a good explanation from the Warner Media CEO about why they decided to do what they had to do last year. Let's head on over to some movie trailers. Smokejumper Angelina Jolie protects a boy from assassins in Taylor Sheridan's 2021 movie, Those Who Wish Me Dead. Those Who Wish Me Dead stars Angelina Jolie, Finn Little, Nicholas Holt, among many others. Michael Korda, Charles Levitt, and Taylor Sheridan wrote the screenplay for Those Who Wish Me Dead. When a 12-year-old boy's father is suddenly killed by elite assassins, he's forced to escape into the forest. With armed hitmen nipping at his heels, the boy soon bumps into Hannah. She immediately becomes the boy's guardian angel as she goes up against a squad of assassins. But things get progressively more dangerous when the killers ignite a raging forest fire. Check out Those Who Wish Me Dead trailer. It premieres on HBO Max May 14th. In more film trailers, Michael B. Jordan seeks revenge for his murdered wife in Stefano Cellamina's 2021 film, Tom Clancy's Without Remorse. Amazon Prime Video has released the second movie trailer for Tom Clancy's Without Remorse. It stars Michael B. Jordan, Jamie Bell, Jodie Turner-Smith, Guy Pearce, among many others. Taylor Sheridan and Will Staples wrote the screenplay for Tom Clancy's Without Remorse. The book is based on a book by Tom Clancy. In a war-torn region of Syria, an elite team of Navy SEALs led by Senior Chief John Kelly, played by Michael B. Jordan, rescues a CIA operative taken hostage by an ex-Russian military force. 3 months later, in apparent retaliation for his role in the mission, Kelly's pregnant wife Pam, played by Lauren London, is murdered in the United States by a squad of masked Russian assassins. Despite being shot multiple times himself, Kelly manages to kill all but one of the attackers before being rushed to the hospital. Meanwhile, in Washington, D.C., Kelly's friend and former SEAL team member, Lieutenant Commander Karen Greer, played by Joni Turner-Smith, greets with CIA agent Robert Ritter, played by Jamie Bell, and Secretary of Defense to discuss their response options. Leaked news of Russia's unprecedented attack on American soil has caused an already strained relations to soil even further. If something isn't done soon, it can result in full-scale war. Check out Tom Clancy's Without Remorse trailer. It debuts on Amazon Prime Video April 30th. Let's check out some TV show trailers now. Anti-consumerist Paul Theroux is a U.S. fugitive in Apple TV Plus's 2021 TV series, The Mosquito Coast. Apple TV has just released a second TV show trailer for The Mosquito Coast. It stars Justin Theroux, Melissa George, Logan Polish, Gabriel Bateman, among many others. The Mosquito Coast is based on a book by Paul Theroux and adapted by the best-selling novel The Mosquito Coast, is a gripping adventure following the dangerous journey of a radical idealist and brilliant inventor, Ali Fox, who uproots his family from Mexico seeking a safe haven. Watch the trailer for The Mosquito Coast. It debuts on Apple TV Plus at the end of the month, April 30th. In more TV show trailers, Tom Hiddleston reprises his anti-hero role in Marvel's TV miniseries, Loki. Disney Plus just released a second TV show trailer for Loki. It stars Tom Hiddleston, Owen Wilson, among many others. Check out Loki trailer. It debuts on Disney Plus June 11th. From HBO Max comes the second TV miniseries trailer for Mare of Easttown. Mare of Easttown stars Kate Winslet, Sosie Bacon, David Denham, among many others. We talked about the first trailer, and the second trailer just debuted. It's about a small-town Pennsylvania detective who investigates a local murder as life crumbles around her. Watch the second trailer for The Mare of Easttown. The series will debut on HBO April 18th. Let's switch gears and go to TV show news. In some TV show news, Jodie Turner-Smith has left The Witcher Blood Origins. She's exited Netflix's Witcher prequel series, The Witcher Blood Origin, due to a scheduling conflict. Turner Smith was set to play a warrior named Ellie, one of the leads in the 6-episode limited series. But due to a change in the production schedule for Witcher The Blood Origin, unfortunately, Jodie Turner-Smith will no longer be able to continue in the role of Ellie, a Netflix spokesman said. The character of Ellie is the voice of a goddess and will need to be recast. The series takes place 1,200 years before the events of The Watcher and shows the backstory of elven civilization before its fall. Some more TV news is CBS's revival of the late 80s action TV series MacGyver has been canceled. MacGyver's days on the case for CBS are coming to an end. The network announced late Wednesday that the procedural reboot starring Lucas Till will close after its current 5th season ends. The series finale on CBS will air on April 30th. Some sad news coming from CBS. All right, enough sad news. Let's get over to this week's movie review. What do you think? Let's check out this week's movie review. We're going to talk about Cherry. A little different this week because it's on Apple TV Plus and not in theaters. It's a very powerful movie, and it's an Apple original film, and I'm not sure how many out there are keeping up with what Apple is putting on their platform, but it's quickly becoming a high-end streaming service, in my opinion. Cherry is about a boy named Cherry. Cherry drifts from college dropout to army medic in Iraq, anchored only by his one true love, Emily. But after returning from the war with PTSD, Cherry's life spirals into drugs and crime as he struggles to find his place in the world. Honestly, Cherry is a powerful ode to what is going on in America today. And I think it's a very powerful movie, and Tom Holland is extraordinary in this role. Tom Holland plays Cherry, and Kyra Bravo plays Emily. Tom Holland stars as Cherry, and Kyra Bravo stars as Emily. Jack Reiner plays Pills and Coke. off the bat, the dynamics between the characters in this movie is phenomenal. I loved the dynamics between the friends and the cousins, and you get a quick sense of what Cherry's life is like as he dates this girl who he doesn't really like and who kind of uses him as an arm piece. Her name is Madison. But quickly, Cherry meets this girl, Emily, and you can tell from right off the bat they have a strong connection. And the story is structured like a story. Like, it's a very... I love the way that Anthony and Joe Russo structured this film, because it's given to you in chapters, right? It starts with a prologue. He's a 23-year-old. He's wandering. He's questioning everything. He's disillusioned, but he's hopeful. He likes the world, right? Cherry is a very sensitive man. I love how you have title cards and it's structured like chapters. Cherry had to work his whole life, so when he falls in love with Emily, it's really strong, and he comes on strong to her, and she kind of recoils from that, because in her experience in her life, she sees love as in a very cynical lens, right? She thinks that love is just pheromones playing tricks on us, when I think that's the main problem with our generation and the kids and everybody who's come after our generation, is that we don't really empathize with our parents' generation about how hard staying in love is, right? It's not easy. Some marriages are easy. Some marriages are come together easier, but love in itself is not easy, and it is hard. And to stay married for 20, 30 years is hard work. And I think that that's one area where we can empathize with particularly our parents and older generations of Americans who really prioritized that kind of hard work. You know, our generation and the kids now prioritize our own everything, right? Because technology makes sex as easy as a tap away, and people project perfection on social media, so we think that just living a normal life somehow is settling for something less good, when we look at our parents and we say, how could they be married? And it's because of that kind of worldview, and we don't really live our lives anymore. We kind of look at other people projecting this sense of perfection in their own lives, and that's really the problem with society around the world, not just in our culture, but specifically in our culture, because Cherry speaks to all of the fault lines in our culture, because we had a whole generation of Americans who, like previous generation of Americans, went off to war and really got messed up because of the realities of trauma and what it does to the human body. You get a sense of what Cherry does, how Cherry deals with this trauma, because he's a boy, right? He decides to join the military because his girlfriend decides to go to college, and he quickly realizes that that's a big mistake, right? But he's already signed the paperwork and there's nothing you can do now. So we quickly see that he doesn't really want to be in the military. He doesn't fit the bill for the military, but he likes to help people. So he drifts into the medic side of the army. But we see him undergo severe trauma, right? And what does he do? What does anybody do when they undergo severe trauma? They start to shut down from the external world, right? Because they're in survival mode, right? When we go through so much external trauma, it affects our internal systems and we just shut down. It's really a protective method of what we do to prevent ourselves from re-experiencing the trauma, you know? And part two of the movie is basic training, right? And we see the horrors of things that we don't talk about that happen in basic training. You know, my father spent 22 years in the military. I'm aware of the crazy underlying issues in the military. The fact that when you have basic training, there is a likelihood of someone attempting to commit suicide. The movie shows us that, and it's a very powerful window into this 1% of us, right? We all focus on the 1%, the wealthy 1%, but there's a serving 1% who put on a uniform and defend our name to prevent worse things from happening to us. The movie gives you a nice magnifying glass into the horrors that are in just basic training. And part three is really his experience in the military. I mean, he was a medic, so you can assume the horrors that he had to experience and see. And you get to see that he really thinks of himself as nothing because he can't feel anymore, because he shut himself down to the point of not feeling anything. That's what happens with trauma, with severe trauma. And part four is him going home. And he dreams of violence. His friends are scarred. We see what it's done to his community. We see what happens with his friends. His friends turn into completely different people. He turns into a completely different person. He turns to pain medication. He starts with Xanax. And then he eventually works himself to Oxys. And we see the relationship between Cherry and Emily being strained by this, because it's also very real, because this happens all across the country in every state. And the relationship, a beautiful relationship that started as pure love, turns into a dependency on drugs. And it's very scary to watch this happen to two young, beautiful people. And part five of the film is about his dope life. Two beautiful human beings are reduced to addicts. They're crazy. All they're doing is reliving. Cherry is reliving his pain by putting needles in his arms every single day, because it's the only thing that he knows is normal, because it's the only thing he's experienced in his life. Cherry is very much a boy trying to act like a man, and we see this play out in his reactions again and again. But he also is a boy who's had to act like a man and had to handle certain situations with maturity, being in a war zone with charred bodies, you know what I mean? So we see how he always, even though he's hurt and even though he acts like a boy in certain circumstances, he's always the ringleader, right? He's always telling people what to do, directing people. And that's how you see his essence of, he's a good person who's gone through really bad stuff. He turns to, like many addicts across the country, they turn to crime. Cherry turns to robbing banks to pay his drug dealers. And we just see the revolving door of it all. It's very sad, because it's what is ailing this country, is that there's tens of millions of people, not just ex-service members, but just people who are in this revolving circle that's doing nothing but making other people money and killing us inside. In my own community, where I grew up, has been riddled with drugs. And I've had people who I've grown up with die. Their parents die. And they should be alive. And that's what a movie like Cherry really shoves in my face, is this is America right now. We see the horrors of overdosing. And there's a powerful scene in this movie with Emily's mother confronting Cherry and telling him, shoving the truth in his face. You'll get to see what she says. It's a powerful scene, and it's true. The movie, it hits different. It hits our senses different, because it's touching on every single one of the themes that is destabilizing society in this country. You know, we have the social unrest comes from really bad stuff, and the mass disillusionment comes from all of that. And the trauma that we all go through is perpetuated by our drug use and our revolving nature of media. You know, it's really, the Cherry really shoves America's reality into our face. And for that, I'm very grateful to Anthony and Joe Russo, because it's based on a book by Nico Walker. And I'm not sure what the book's title is, but I'm going to have to research it now. Eventually, Cherry just gets exhausted with his way of life, and he just gives it all up. He pays off his drug dealer, and he gives himself up. And the movie ends with the last chapter of an epilogue, because we get to see the horrors of detoxing, what that does to the human body, what that does to a young man. But then the beautiful part is Anthony and Joe Russo bring us through his therapy and his rehabilitation and him helping people again, because Cherry finds his purpose again in other people, in helping other people. And the dynamic, the love story interwoven in all this story is Cherry and Emily. And you'll get to see just how beautiful of an arc they have. I hope I didn't ruin anything, but it's a very powerful movie. It's relevant. It's strong acting. Tom Holland is an amazing actor. And Kyra Bravo is equally as powerful. Amazing, amazing acting from everybody in this movie. It left me in tears. I mean, it's a powerful ode to the problems in our country. It's really, it's action-packed, and you get anxiety in there. It's suspenseful, extremely sharp dialogue, great characters, and the dynamics between the characters make the movie even better. It's a fantastic film. I highly, highly recommend watching Cherry. It's on Apple TV Plus, and I hope you like it as much as I did. Thanks so much for checking us out this week. Thank you for listening to this episode of Film Bookcast. You can find more of my work on film-book.com. Just search for Chris Banks, or Film Bookcast. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm at CBanksy. That's S-E-E Banksy. And I'm on Instagram. I'm at TheChrisBanks. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or another podcast service, please rate and review this episode. If you're listening to this podcast on our YouTube channel, Film Book Podcast, please like our video, subscribe to our channel, or leave us a comment in the comment section. It helps other people discover our podcast. Please also consider becoming one of our patrons on Patreon at patreon.com/filmbook. Your support helps us create more engaging content. You'll find our Patreon link below in the description. If you want to tweet about this podcast, just use the hashtag FilmBookCast. Tune in next week for the next episode of the Film Bookcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you then.